This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. I'm going to be talking about Jesus Christ on today's program, but I may be doing it in a slightly different way than you're used to. When you think about Jesus Christ, what do you think of? You think of God. You think of the Son of God. You think of Messiah. You think of various ideas and characteristics relating to God. But do you think about, and I'm going to get to that about in a moment. I want to address two quick scriptures before I get to the do you think about. Let's take a look at Matthew 27 and 50 for a moment. And what it says here in Matthew 27, 50, it says, Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. We know that Jesus died for us. He went all the way for us. So I want you to think about that scripture and one other before I reveal what I was about to say a moment ago. The other scripture is in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 3. It says there, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Now think about that for a moment. The Father had given all things into Jesus' hand. Jesus gave up his spirit for us. He went all the way for us. He died for us. What am I getting at here? Besides all those other things you're thinking about with Jesus, do you ever think of Jesus as a leader? Do you think of Jesus as being your leadership example? Because to die for someone, to go all out for someone, to have all this power are things that leaders sometimes have. And sometimes we think of leaders in that way. So I want to look today at leadership, but from the perspective of Jesus Christ, how Jesus led, the example Jesus set as a leader. Because believe it or not, we are all leaders. I don't care if you're 17 years old or 88 years old or 52 years old. There are roles you can play in life where leadership can come out. You can lead others and help others through the leadership qualities that you build. And the greatest leadership qualities, the greatest example of that we can find is in Jesus Christ right from the pages of our Bible. So that's the direction we're going to go on today's program. But before we do that, before we embark upon that, we want to offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. Now, the booklet we want to offer you on today's program is titled, Messiah, Just Who Is the Anointed One? This booklet will deal with Jesus the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah is a central theme of the Old Testament. But who is this anointed one? Did Jesus fulfill the messianic prophecies of Scripture? Please get this booklet, read about those prophecies from the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfilled them. We also want to offer you a free CD on today's program. The CD is titled, Jesus the Messiah. This will give us even more information on Jesus the Messiah, things we can learn from the Master. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791 or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Go to the link for contacting us, and there you can order both of these items. I want to thank you all for joining us again on today's program. Again, we're going to be talking about leadership, but we're going to look at the example of Jesus Christ and how he led to help us be better leaders in our lives. Now, when you think about leadership, you got to think about the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us that we shall be kings and priests in that kingdom. If we're going to be leaders in that future, shouldn't we try to start practicing those leadership skills now? I say yes, and that's what we're going to learn about today. I want to tell you a quick story about my youngest brother. My youngest brother recently told me that when I had moved away from home in my early 20s and came back to visit my family, that my two youngest brothers were very interested to hear what I had to say about how life was in this other city, how my job was going, and what was happening with me. Now, I was perplexed by this because I did not think at the time that I came home that my two youngest brothers, and there's about a 13-year age difference with my youngest brother and maybe a 10-year age difference with my next youngest brother, I did not think that they were really listening to everything I had to say. And what I came back with from this talk with my brother was that, wow, I had a leadership vacuum there that I could have filled with my younger brothers that maybe I was not even cognizant of. Now, I did provide them with advice at times, but I did not think that they were so interested in me and what was going on with me and that they looked up to me as a mentor of sorts. Knowing that now, I try to be cognizant of that with everyone I'm dealing with, that maybe people are interested in hearing a little advice or learning about something because of an experience that I have had. But all of us can be leaders is what I'm trying to get at. Whether you're a 17-year-old who has some younger brothers or sisters, or whether you're a mom who works at home and takes care of the kids, especially a mom who works from home and takes care of the kids, you probably have one of the most important leadership roles in society when you really think about it. We all can be leaders. Let's look at what the Bible shows us, the leadership qualities of Jesus that can help us be better leaders. Now, looking at Jesus' example, we see a number of things that Jesus did that showed us as leaders what we should do. One example I want to bring out is over in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?'" Now, what are we talking about here with Jesus? Jesus is preparing himself before he embarks on his ministry. He's prepping, ladies and gentlemen. And as leaders, we need to be prepared before we really start leading. We need to know as much as we can about the subject at hand before we start leading. Notice what happens right after Jesus' baptism. What does he do? He goes out into the wilderness alone. He's tempted of the devil. He fasts for 40 days and nights. What was he doing? He was preparing to lead. He was preparing to start his ministry, the most important period of his life, to get the church going. And what does he do? He prepares before he begins. As leaders, we must remember this. We gotta prepare as well as we can. There may be things that are going to come up that we had no preparation for. Believe me, I found that out as an elder in the church. But we need to prepare as best we can. Jesus, right from the start, shows us that example. Something else Jesus shows us. If we go further along in Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus saying this in verse 18. He said to Peter, he called Simon Peter and said in verse 19, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." What is Jesus doing here as he starts to collect his disciples? He's creating one-on-one relationships, folks. He's working with people one-on-one. Leaders must recognize that even if you are over a large organization, you need to have one-on-one relationships established with a cadre of people, your go-to people who you can work with, who you can task, who you can delegate to. If you don't set up something like that, your leadership will be much weaker than it normally could have been. Another thing Jesus shows us by his example in Scripture is Jesus delegates responsibility. Now, you probably think Jesus could do it all, and I believe he could also. But Jesus is showing us an example of what we need to do as leaders. Notice this over in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 5. He's been working with the disciples for a little while now, and notice what happens in Matthew 10 and verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons." What's Jesus doing here? He's starting to give up some of the responsibility to the people he's working with. He's delegating responsibility. Leaders need to recognize they can't do it all. When you begin to think you can do it all, you're going to run into problems and difficulties with leadership. Jesus is delegating some of that responsibility after he's worked with these individuals for a period of time. Now they're ready to start to do some of that work for him. Another area that Jesus brings out, we know Jesus was building a church. We know Jesus was building an organization of sorts to take on the task of getting the gospel message to the world. There's a scripture over in Matthew chapter 28 that I'd like to read. Matthew 28 and verse 19 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Jesus wanted an organization of some sort because in order to accomplish large tasks, you need organization. You can't do it willy-nilly, folks. Jesus was cognizant of that fact. He wanted these individuals to build that church, to strengthen that church, to put that church out into the world and to accomplish the vision that Jesus had here. So we learn a lot of interesting things by Jesus' example in Scripture about leadership. Sometimes we don't think that leadership is there, but it's brimming with leadership examples if we take the time to look for it. What I want to do right now is I want to relate a little bit about a book I recently read. The title of this book was titled Lead Like Jesus. One of the authors of this book is named Ken Blanchard. Now, Blanchard is a big guru in the training and education field. And he, in his later years, he has come to Christianity. So he wrote this book with another fella. But what Blanchard and this other fella do in the book is they look at four major domains of leadership that they see Jesus executing. And they tell us what these four domains are, and they try to get across the point to leaders. You need to be aware of these four domains of leadership if you're going to lead other people. So what I want to do in the remainder of today's program is look at these four major domains. The first domain they call the heart. The heart. And what they mean by the heart is the motivation of leaders. What is your motivation? The motivation of leaders is very important. Here's what I mean by that. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Let's go ahead over to the book of Philippians, and we want to read a scripture there. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Leaders, if you're listening to me out there, pay heed to these words. You need to be humble. You need to have humility. You can't be about yourself and what your agenda is. You need to be looking out at the interests of others and listening to them also. This will help you lead other people. We see this example with Jesus. Jesus was a selfless leader. There's no doubt about that. The second domain that is brought up in this book by Ken Blanchard is the domain of your head. What they mean by that is your leadership style. Your leadership style. What was Jesus' leadership style? We heard about this earlier in today's program when we brought up John chapter 13. In John 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And he said, as I serve you, you need to serve others. The leadership style of Jesus was servant leadership. That is probably the best leadership style you can have. If you think of yourself as a leader, as a servant, you will really connect with the people you are leading. Keep that in mind, those of you who are in leadership roles out there right now. Remember the statement we also read earlier, where Jesus said to Peter, I will make you fishers of men. He was showing his style. He was showing his vision. A leader must have vision. A leader must have vision. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, if people don't have vision, they will perish. And that is so true. That is so true of leadership. I want you to also think about a recent movie that came out. I did not see this movie, but I heard about it. You may know the story. It's Alice in Wonderland. And in the story of Alice in Wonderland, what happens is, as Alice is roaming through Wonderland, she's going down a particular path, and she comes to a fork in the road. And there just happens to be the Cheshire Cat at this fork in the road. And Alice says to the cat, I don't know which road I should take, to the left or toward the right. And the cat asks her, Alice, where are you going? Where are you headed? And Alice says, I don't know where I'm going or where I'm headed. And the cat says, well, it doesn't matter which road you take then. And this is so true of leadership, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't have vision, if we don't know where we're going, how are we going to get there? Vision must come from leadership. Jesus provided parables about the kingdom. Those parables are brimming with vision. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand, to keep reaching for this thing out there that was the kingdom of God. They could not totally experience it in their life. We cannot totally experience it in this life. We will experience it when Christ comes again. But vision is about that thing that's out there that you're continually reaching for. You don't quite grasp it, but you maintain the passion for it. It keeps you alive and going every day. That's what vision is about. Another great example of vision is the famous speech by Martin Luther King. If you listen to that speech, it's brimming with vision. It's talking about this future world where there isn't hatred, where everyone's getting along. Now, things have gotten better with race relations in this country, but we still have not reached that vision that Dr. King spoke about. But having that vision in front of you keeps you passionate, keeps you working. And as a leader, you gotta keep your people working and passionate about the goal or the vision that is out there. If there is no vision, the people are not going to work for it or go for it. They have to have that vision. A leader brings vision. The third area or domain that the book was talking about was our hands. Again, they were using H's here, so they used the word hands. What they meant by hands were the actions of a leader. The actions of a leader. And what they got into in this section of the book, they talked about the fact that a leader would have to plan things, that a leader would have to coach people on a day-to-day basis, that a leader would have to evaluate people's performances. And we see once again Jesus doing that with his disciples over and over throughout Scripture. Now, when you think about coaching people, you have to understand that your people are at different levels. Not everyone is a journeyman. Not everyone is a novice. But when we begin with people, they will be at that novice stage. They're just getting started. So we need to deal with them differently than we would deal with an apprentice who may be the second stage that people are at. Let me give you an example of that from Scripture. Over in Matthew chapter 17, I want to show you something there. Matthew chapter 17, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 15. Matthew 17 and verse 15. It says, "Lord, have mercy on me, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." Now Jesus goes on and is able to take care of the problem here that his disciples were not able to take care of. And then Jesus talks to his disciples about this incident, talks to them bluntly, lets them know, hey, you guys were not able to handle this, and tells them why. So he's working with his disciples. He's not browbeating them, but he's being honest with them with constructive feedback. They later are able to do some things that they weren't able to do at this apprentice stage that they were in right here. But notice how Jesus handled the situation. He didn't come condemn them or come down upon them so they wouldn't be ready to do the next thing that he wanted them to do. So that's the apprentice stage. We also have the journeyman stage. We also have the master stage. And when you think of the journeyman, think of Peter beginning to walk on the water, but then falling in. When you think of the master stage, think of Peter once again. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter is now speaking powerfully about the kingdom of God and what people need to know about the gospel message of Jesus when Jesus has left the scene. So Jesus has imparted that knowledge, that information. And now that Jesus is gone and Peter has seen the resurrected Jesus, he's able to be that master. He's able to go out into the world and perform the task that Jesus set him up to perform. And as leaders, we need to have our succession set up for ourselves. We need to work with people who will succeed us and carry on that vision, carry on that passion that we have started them out in. The last area that the book was talking about that leaders need to understand is the domain of habits. That leaders need to establish proper habits that will assist them in being leaders and maintaining their leadership roles. Some of the habits that Jesus displayed are numerous. But one we may not think too much about is the solitude of Jesus. Jesus went alone by himself to do certain things, to meditate, to gather his thoughts, to refresh and recharge himself. And leaders need to do the same thing. There's a good scripture in Matthew 14. Check out Matthew 14, verses 13 and 23. You will see two examples there of Jesus going off by himself when the crowds were gathering around him. He needed to get away from it all at times so he could come back energized and refreshed, ready to tackle the leadership role that he was taking on. Jesus also showed us other habits: prayer, the study of God's Word, and also trusting God's love. There are many promises from God in the Bible that we need to remember, because leadership will get you down at times. You will run into problems with leadership. And if we trust God being there for us, being there with us, we can maintain our energy and get right back into it. These are habits that Jesus displayed. One final habit that Jesus displayed was he had an intimate community of people that he dealt with. And I'm not just talking about the 12 disciples. He also had 3 disciples within that group who were even closer to him than the other disciples. You will see examples of this in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9, where Jesus takes aside James, John, and Peter. You will see this happening again in Mark chapter 5 and verse 37, where he calls aside Peter, James, and John. Jesus was looking for people that he could get feedback from. As leaders, we need to have an intimate group that we can get straight talk from to help us in making our decisions as leaders. We've looked at a lot of examples from Scripture today where Jesus shows his leadership qualities. We need to recognize those qualities. We need to use those qualities as our role as leaders. Please read your Bible. Find those leadership examples that Jesus gave us and use them in your daily life. I want to thank you for joining us on today's program of the Armor of God. Please join us again on another edition and listen to this short message right after I go off the air. Bye for now.
Leadership, what a subject, especially in today's environment. Frankly, I think all of us would agree that if there's anything lacking in leadership today, it's good and honest and selfless leadership. I mean, let's face it, we have leaders. But the quality of leadership is what can make or break us. That's what makes the distinction between good leadership and bad leadership. Today, there's just so much corruption, whether it's in business, whether it's in politics, and it's not only in this country here in the United States, it's throughout the whole world. Why is that? Why is it that we lack such good leadership, the quality of leadership that is so necessary? Well, I don't want to oversimplify things, but I do want to mention this. People would be far better off if they would just recognize the attitude and approach of Jesus Christ. Mike brought it up in the course of his presentation. He pointed out heart, motivation, and intent. That's what is at the heart of good leadership. The head, the leadership style, that is also underscores good leadership. Hands, what the leader does, his actions. Does he actually exemplify the kind of leadership that deserves respect? How about habits? The underscoring, underlining ability for continuity and stability in leadership. So much of this is plainly illustrated in the book of Matthew. I want to point this out because Jesus Christ here says it in very short form, but it is just so poignant. Notice here in verse 25 of chapter 20 in the book of Matthew, he states, Jesus calls his disciples unto him. He says, "You know the princes of the Gentiles exercise domination over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant." Servant leadership, that's what's at the heart of Christ's example. Let us help you to better understand this. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Get our free offers, a one-hour presentation called Jesus the Messiah, and a piece of literature titled Messiah, Who is the Anointed One? Dial 888-578-8791. This is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. This program